Good morning again.
Good morning.
Do I need to turn something on here, Dan, or am I on? I don't want to electrocute myself. Is it on?
Yeah, we hear you.
You can hear me?
Yep, good.
Okay. A Thanksgiving Sunday.
Hallelujah.
A day of Thanksgiving.
Yes.
This Thursday, we're going to gather in twos or twenties. With that announcement today, I thought, I wonder, Yvonne, if we should bring our 28 people that are going to come to our house down here. We're going to gather to celebrate a day of Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Lord.
We will be asked to share something for which we are thankful. In the current 2020 world situation, some may scratch their heads or do worse than scratch their heads, saying, what would I have to share? I'd have a hard time thinking of something for which to be thankful. But this morning, I would like us to look at a few things, a few ideas of what we can share on Thursday and on every day for that matter. And so let's begin at Genesis 1. Actually, as I was preparing for this, I thought probably every chapter I could find something that we could look at and focus on today and say this is something that we can be thankful for. But let's just begin with Genesis 1. The very first four words, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Can we wrap our brains around even a speck of the enormous capacity of God? Of course not, because that would put a limit on his capacity. He is infinite. He cannot be measured. He attempts to show his greatness through the words of Isaiah. God has measured the oceans in the palm of his hand. How much water can I put in the palm of my hand? And he's able to scoop up the oceans. And again, this is figurative language, but through Isaiah, he's trying to help us understand the expansiveness, the enormity, the capacity of this one who we say is our God. He has measured the heavens with the span of his hand. The span is from the tip of your thumb to the tip of your pinky. That's a span. And he measures the heavens. I can see him saying, oh, let's see, how far did I throw the Andromedas galaxy away from the Earth? 2.7 million light years. How far is a light year? It takes 8 minutes for the light from the sun to get 93 million miles to the earth. 8 minutes. A light year is the amount of distance it takes for light to travel in a whole year. Multiply that by 2.7 million, and that's just the Andromedas galaxy, which is the closest one to the earth. Are we beginning to picture? I mean, we all know it, but by looking at these words of Isaiah, we again refresh our hearts and our minds to realize, in the beginning, God. He is our God. Well, Isaiah goes on. He calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. He has weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. And so I did another bit of research. Man says that we cannot calculate the weight of the earth. Because it is suspended in space, it is weightless, but through gravity and, oh man, my mind went wild trying to figure out what they were saying, but they have made an attempt. But they said because of meteorites and all kinds of stuff, the weight of the earth is increasing each year, but also because the gases are escaping from the earth, it is reducing each year. But they came up with this number. 13,200 and 21 more zeros after that. Not pounds, but tons. I forget even what word it was, quadrillion or something. Anyway, 13,200 and then 21 more zeros is the weight of the earth. Wait a minute, what's that all about? He weighs the mountains in scales and the hills in a balanced scale. Isaiah goes on, to whom then will we liken God? There is none. There is none. There is no one like him. There is none to compare to this awesome God. Of the innumerable stars and moons and planets that he has created, he has made one just right for us. Again, science is spending billions of dollars trying to find other inhabitable planets. Oh, and they think they have found one. It has some kind of gas on it that might suggest that there's water on it, and they're crazy. I mean, excuse me, but that's my thought of all that money and energy that is going into trying to find our God, this incomprehensible, awesome, magnanimous God, created a planet out of all the stars, the suns, the moons, the planets. He has created one just perfect, just the right distance away from the sun so we don't get too hot or get too cold. Just the right amount of oxygen, the photosynthesis, the plants producing what they produce, and the, anyway, all that good stuff. Yeah. A planet that is inhabitable by us. He is infinite, and we give thanks to him. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, who created the world, a perfect world for our habitation. And so we're going to mix it up a little bit this morning, and we're going to sing that chorus again that Tom has been reminding us of. Are you ready? Oh Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. Oh Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. Okay, that was a warm-up. We'll be doing it a few more times before this sermon of worship and thanksgiving is over. From our thankfulness for our awesome, infinite God, we then read that he attends the funeral of every sparrow. If you haven't read that yet, it's in Matthew 10:29. A sparrow does not fall to the earth, but that he is mindful of it. From that awesomeness of the universe that he spoke into existence, we go to the other extreme and think of a sparrow, just a little bird. And he attends the funeral of every sparrow. But more powerful than that, we turn to Psalm 139. And it says that he oversaw the development of our being in our mother's womb. Quote, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." I could comment there about the complexity of present-day relationships, but I won't. But I guess I just did. But back to Scripture. If you didn't catch that, we are wonderfully complex, and I'm looking at my wife. Back to Scripture. "Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand along the seashore." Each one of those statements pointing to the awesomeness and the love and concern that he has for each one of us. Can we be thankful for that in a world that is in turmoil today? Yes, we can. And he says, "And when I wake up, you are still with me. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life." Now, they say when the mice are away, the cats will play. When the cat is away, the mice will play. So we're going to mix it up a little bit more today. Men, all of you stand up. And we're going to sing, "Oh, Lord, I thank you." Let's practice. "Oh, Lord, I thank you." Then you're going to sit down. And the ladies are going to stand up. "I really thank you." No. I was only doing to try to pretend that I was a woman's voice. Okay, let's hear it. Okay, now the men get back up. Ladies, you stay up. "I just thank you all the days of my life." Ladies, sit down. Men, "Oh, Lord, I thank you." Ladies, stand up. Men, sit down. Men, get back up. "All the days of my life." Okay, we got it. Let's try it again. Men, standing. What? I didn't hear that.
When is our performance?
Right now. Right now. We just had a rehearsal. Now we are on. Okay, men. Well, wait, I'm the choir director here. Okay. "Oh, Lord, I thank you.
I really thank you.
I just thank you all the days of my life." Thank you. Ladies up. "Really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life." And science is just beginning to understand the utter complexity of our body. It is phenomenal. I read those science from Creation Today articles, and sometimes I have to read them two or three times just to think that maybe I'm understanding a little bit about what they're talking about. God, the infinite, mighty, awesome creator, And then they barely touch the relationship of that physical body, how it relates to our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then add the significance in that creation act that he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. That wasn't his breathing apparatus. That was the pneuma. That was the Spirit of God that made us into eternal beings. We will live forever. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. And then, if that is not enough, that he made us spirit, soul, and body, if that is not enough, Scripture goes on to say, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And in another place, beloved, now we are the children of God. And again, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Romans 8. Daddy, Father. Oh, how thankful I am that he set up a family plan. God is our Father. Jesus is our elder brother. We are brothers and sisters. Look around at your brothers and sisters. Bobby, are you a brother to somebody? Look around. We're brothers and sisters. You're writing notes. We who have trusted in Christ as Savior have been adopted into the family of God. I am a child of God. He is my Father. When we pray what we've called the Lord's Prayer, it's really the disciples' prayer, but we call it the Lord's Prayer, we say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And that is true because we are the family, and when we are praying in unity. But I also like the concept that I, making it individual and personal, I am a child of God. God is my Father. You notice that when Lou prays, he always says, my God. I like that personal aspect, that personal concept that he is my Father. My father died when I was 8 years old. My mother never remarried. I did not have an adult male person to identify with. I did have a cousin who was already grown and married when I was a kid, but he was of a different denomination, so we couldn't relate together. Yeah, those were the days. And so it was when I discovered this scripture in Psalm 139 of God's love for me that I came to realize I am a child of God. God is my Father. Let's say that together. God is my Father. God is my Father. Again, God is my Father. I am a child of God. Let's see. Is that worth giving thanks for?
Yes.
Oh, Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. Okay, you have a note in with the bulletin that you received. So now it's time for further participation. While I give a few more ideas that we can share this Thursday, I would like you to write down a one or no more than two sentence statement of thanks. Now, I'll admit that when Paul wrote scripture, sometimes he could write a whole paragraph and it'd just be one sentence. But we want to keep them short. But Dan has a boom mic, and he will, Helen has a boom mic, and she will carry that boom mic around. Now, don't touch the mic, but she will carry that boom mic around and place it in front of you when you raise your hand and say, yes, I want to make a statement of thanksgiving, or if you want to sing that chorus as a solo, you can do that too. But so right now, while I give a few more ideas of what we can express thanksgiving about this Thursday, I want you to be writing down a one or a two sentence statement of thanksgiving. And so we have been excited about the creation and how God created us in His image and His likeness and gave us an eternal spirit. But a number of generations after God created man, we read that things went wrong, very wrong. So wrong that God was planning to destroy His whole creation. Quote, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy both man and beast, whom I have created from the face of the earth, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them." Genesis 6. It was a dark day in history. Life was about to come to an end. Speaking of Christ, Scripture says that all of creation is sustained by the word of His mouth. Quote, "In fact, every single thing was created by Him and for Him. He is the upholding principle of all creation. He is the meson, the atomic glue, if you will, that scientists were looking for. And now today they call it laminin, the molecule that holds all things together. And if you go to the internet and put in that word laminin, L-A-M-I-N-I-N, and they will show you a picture through an electron microscope of that molecule. And it is in the shape of a cross. In fact, every single thing was created by Him and for Him. And He is the upholding principle of all of creation. Can you imagine? Now, maybe your mind doesn't work this way, but can you imagine that if Jesus leans back in His chair, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and says, I think I'll take a break for one nanosecond. Poof! Gone. Everything would be gone. Let me read scripture again, lest you report to Steve that Neil's sharing some heresy. In fact, every single thing was created by Him, speaking of Christ, and for Him, and He is the one that is holding it all together. So a very dark day, as God was thinking to destroy the earth. But then, God talked to Noah. quote. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them from the earth. But now here's the good part. But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, Genesis 6 and 7. I am thankful for that righteous man, Jonah. Noah. I knew I was going to do that. When I was going through the notes, I said, Jonah, and here I do it again. Noah, I am thankful for, well, I'm glad for Noah, Jonah too, because he was a deliverer of a whole nation. I am thankful for Noah that he found grace in the sight of the Lord. He was righteous. He was perfect in his generations. Let's give thanks to God for the righteous man Noah, who saved the earth from total annihilation. Can we try our up and down again?
Yep.
Men, stand up. Oh Lord, I thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. I just thank you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God, for a righteous man named Noah who saved the earth from total annihilation. So life on earth continues. But things go wrong again and again and again and again. We want a king like the other nations, they shouted. Thus, by rejecting God, they get a king. But while they were fighting the wars that came about during Saul's reign, God was preparing a shepherd boy to become a man after God's own heart to rule the nation. Time and generations passed. Judges judged, kings reigned, and then prophets foretold. A deliverer would come from the seed of Abraham, a king from the line of David, whose name would be the Lord our righteous Savior. Quote, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small in the clans of Judah, from you will come one who will be ruler over Israel. Again, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Joseph, son of David, do not hesitate to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Is there a welling up of thanksgiving in our heart? That's because we know the rest of the story. But then for 400 years, that's more than two TV programs, for 400 years, God is silent. Think of the people who lived during those 400 years. God, where are you? God, where are you? Of course, today we never let those words come to our mind, do we? But as Scripture says, in the fullness of time, when the time was right, from God's reckoning of time,
rejoice. Oh, am I on?
Wow. When the time was right, from God's reckoning of time,
rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. For with God nothing is impossible.
For with God nothing is impossible. Let's sing it with full hearts of thanksgiving. Our Savior is born. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. However, some 30-plus years later, there was a dark Friday, a very black Friday. Satan was gleeful, thinking he had won. The religious leaders were rejoicing, thinking that they had gotten rid of him. The people of the world are fighting with each other to be the first in the stores to purchase their Christmas gifts. Oh no, wait a minute. That's this next Friday, which also will be a very black Friday, as people spend millions of dollars that they don't have. Excuse me. That's not in the scripture. Back to scripture. The disciples of Jesus are mourning. We thought he was the Messiah, they lament. It may have been the most black Friday, but we know that Sunday's a-coming.
Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. She stood outside by the tomb, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God."
And today we embrace that truth of a risen Savior. He is risen. All other religious leaders are dead in their tombs, but our Savior is a risen Lord. Today we embrace that truth of a risen Savior. And then he says, "I will not leave you orphans. It is necessary that I go away so that the Spirit of truth may come. He will comfort you. He will empower you. He will lead you into all truth." And so a risen Savior, and now that Jesus has gone back to be at the Father, standing at the right hand of the Father, daily making intercession for us before the Father. Oh, what a magnificent concept. He has given us the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who will empower us, who will lead us into all truth. He will be a comforter to us when we need comfort. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. Oh, Lord, I thank you. Thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. Now let's hear what comes to your mind to be able to share on Thanksgiving Day. Helen has a boom mic. Just raise your hand and you are going to participate in the service now.
I just want to say I thank God for his grace and for saving me, restoring me, and loving me. I am his daughter.
I want to say I'm thankful for his love, because without his love, we wouldn't have his grace. And without his love, we wouldn't have salvation. And without his love, I wouldn't know the rest of the story.
I'm thankful that we have full access to the Word of God, unlike Amen. Lots of times in the past, lots of people around the world. We can read it as much as we want over and over and over again and study it. I'm so grateful for that. I guess I like it. And I'm mostly thankful in the world for a pastor that loves the truth of the word and for a church family that also loves the truth of the word. And we're like, we just encourage each other and we're there for each other and we're just super real. And I just love all the family that we have. A bunch of little misfit toys. We just we just love Jesus and we love his truth. So I'm grateful for you guys.
Remember, she's an author.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we have our book here. Yvonne has our book for, we're going to have a book signing ceremony at the end of the service, and she's going to sign the book.
Very cool. Okay, am I? All right. I'm thankful that the Lord chose us to be saved and spend eternity with him and our families. I just praise him for that. And I'm also thankful for how well he's taking care of us during this crazy trial that the whole world is going through. But God has provided and cared for us and given us peace in our own lives, and I just praise him for that too.
Okay. Before you go to the next person, I forgot, but at the beginning I wanted to for us to pray for our pastor and his family who are on a holiday. Last Sunday he pretty honestly revealed that he's under a lot of pressure. So join me in prayer for our pastor. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. First of all, thanking you that we have such easy access to you through Jesus Christ. And as we stand before you on behalf of our pastor, we love him. We honor him as our pastor, as our shepherd, as our teacher of your word. And we do ask for comfort right now by your Holy Spirit for him, for his wife, for his family that is there with him. May they have a time of relaxation, a time of enjoyment together with each other, a time of remembrance of the good times in their lives together, and be strengthened in his body, in his mind, and in his spirit as he comes back to shepherd his flock. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen.
I just want to say I'm thankful that I have like-minded people who know Yeshua Messiah personally like I do. It's wonderful. It's like people who go to football games, they have like-minded people. That's what I tell people at churches all about. It's like like-minded people. I got to have like-minded people who know the Lord. And on a second note, when the throat doctor saw this growth on my vocal cord, I wasn't alarmed because he didn't say it alarming. He wants to go inside and remove it and see what it is. So I was not alarmed at all. It's my throat hasn't hurt. This has been going on with this laryngitis for almost a month now. No pain. I can swallow. It's just come out of nowhere. So I'm not too concerned. I'm going to go have it done and I'll be healed. So I just wanted you guys to be, it's nothing like cancer. They saw that I got alarmed or nothing, but no, everything's okay as far as I know.
I am thankful for the love, and acceptance and faithfulness of this church, of our pastors. And we are a bunch of misfit toys. And because of that, our son, salvation, and your faithful prayers for over 9 years, 8.5 of him being in prison, the last 4 years of his stay, he converted to Islam, and I wanted to die. I wanted to die. And both Tom and I struggled with that and him coming home and what was that going to be like, because he lives with us right now. And after only probably less than 3 months, he came back to the Lord. He recommitted himself to Jesus. And again, it is your prayer and acceptance of him. He works on Sunday, otherwise he would be here, but he is faithful to come every Thursday to Bible study and fellowship. And I just thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your prayers, for your love. And Ryan knows it. He knows it. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ryan fixed up our Explorer, put a new engine in it, and he really enjoys our Explorer. I still can't say that. It isn't mine. It's still mine. We had that for so many years. But I was glad that Ryan was able to fix that thing and have a nice vehicle also. So the Lord is faithful.
So I'd like to thank the Lord for allowing me to be a member here. I've always felt a little bit like a misfit, so maybe that's why. Seriously, that was a good analogy, and maybe we should get shirts made up. But and I really want to thank him. Sometimes it gets a little tight. I work for myself, and I just pray, and he comes through, and boom, the phone rings, and I'm busy again, and praise Jesus, and it just I've never slept so good since I started coming here and have been saved, and it's an amazing thing. And later on in my years, it's just so easy for me to tell somebody, it doesn't matter how old you are, it's never too late. And just thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. I think that's worth another song. Men, stand up. Oh, well, no, let's all get on the same note. Oh, Lord, I thank you.
I really thank you.
I just thank you all the days of my life.
Lord, I thank you. I really thank you.
I just thank you all the days of my life. We need a little more practice before we go on Broadway with that.
So, Lord, there's never enough words. And I wrote a few things, but, you know, I know it's supposed to be a few lines, but I'll make it quick. I thank you for my family inside and out the church. Lord, I thank you for showing me your light. Lord, I thank you for my redemption and all the things that you have given to me, most of all, my salvation. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Any more? Anyone else? Okay. There is thankfulness in our hearts, I trust. And this Thursday, as we are gathering together, those who come to the church here, those who gather with family, I trust that we will have words of thanksgiving that we can share. And so, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." So much to be thankful for. And I would like to end with what I believe is the ultimate thanks that is in our heart. John is speaking. "Then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new." Dan is queued up. Watch the screens. You're waiting for another line? That's the last line.
What are you waiting for?
Oh, he was queuing me.
Queue.
Sorry.
Let's read that last section again, then Dan will be ready. In the words of John, the apostle, "Then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new."
Last night, as I lay sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem, beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. My dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. And the sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill, as a shadow of a cross arose upon the lonely hill. As a shadow
Thanksgiving.